have, oh, 20 seconds.
We are seeing Mexican Americans, brown and black, and Native American folk here in Arizona receive the biggest brunt of this disease, and so that points to issues in healthcare in not just Arizona but our country. And so we see the brunt of COVID-19 here in Arizona. It points to inequities in healthcare delivery to people of color. And we have to, for me, it's important that we state the truth, right?
We have to leave it there. Mayor Romero, we thank you so much for being with us. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Portland.
Where it is now time for Wednesday Talk Radio with your host, Paul Rollins. Stay tuned to your community connection, KBOO.
Sitting here in limbo, but I know it won't be long. Sitting here in limbo, like a bird without a song. Well, they're putting up resistance, but I know that my faith will lead me on.
Indeed, lots of limbo, but people are rising up nevertheless, and we are heading towards a doozy of an election coming up in November. And to dissect what might happen is Greg Palast, two people who listen regularly to talk radio on KBOO are well familiar with. He has appeared many times over the years, especially on our friend Joanne Hardesty's old show on Thursday. And he'll be with us in a minute. I just want to introduce him. He's the investigative reporter for The Guardian, BBC Television, Democracy Now!, and Rolling Stone, who broke the story of how George Bush stole Florida in 2000. Remember that? 20 years ago. Well, some of you weren't even born. By purging thousands of innocent black voters, he is the author of four New York Times bestsellers, including The Best Democracy Money Can Buy and Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. Before turning to journalism, Palast directed investigations of billion-dollar racketeering, fraud, and financial manipulation cases for attorneys general and the Department of Justice, and advised unions and governments on four continents. Palast actually studied economics under Milton Friedman at the University of Chicago. That's interesting, something we've never asked him about, I don't think. He's also co-author of Democracy and Regulation, published by the United Nations International Labor Organization, based on his lectures at Cambridge University's Department of Applied Economics and University of Sao Paulo. And he's the winner of a number of awards that you can read on my program page at kboo.fm. Most of all, he is one of the foremost investigators into electoral malfeasance, manipulation, and outright real fraud, not the kind that Trump talks about. And I think he's probably on the line with us from Los Angeles.
Indeed I am. Hello.
Good to talk to you. Hello.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
Okay, I'm here with you, and I've got a special gift for you. actually was yesterday, I released my new book, How Trump stole 2020, how Trump stole 2020, which is the hunt for America's vanished voters that came out yesterday. And very important is that right now you can get the book with a small donation to your weapon of mass destruction in Portland, KBOO. How do we do that? Do we go to what's the minimum donation, and what is where do people go to get the book?
I believe it's $60, our regular membership, and they can go to kboo.fm/give. That's kboo.fm/give. Alternatively, if you who are listening do not have a computer, or maybe it's broken, you can call our regular line, 503-231-8032, and dial in extension 207. That will get you to the right person. 503-231-8032, extension 207. Because I anticipate we'll have quite a few people wanting to call in and interact with you, Greg, we don't want to tie up that line with requests for the book. So call our regular number.
Okay, very good. So it's out today. It looks like we're heading to the bestseller list. So I want everyone to get it today, and I want you to get it today. It's very important, from KBOO. So go to kboo.fm/give. This is Greg Palast, and it is already some people call it my best book, but it's the book about, yes, how Trump did steal 2020. It's already stolen, but we can unsteal it. We can bust the burglary, and in the book I tell you how to do that. But it's also, for those who are fans of Josh Fox, you know, the director of Gasland from Our Revolution, you know, as he says, it's effing hilarious, because what I've done is I've tried to take the destruction of our democracy, Paul, the corrosion, the kind of coup d'etat by this gelatinous, orange-stained, porcine, petulant, pestilent president, and make his coup d'etat show the dark humor of it. There's also a 48-page comic book inside by the brilliant investigative cartoonist Ted Rall, who breaks it all down for you in how Trump stole 2020, and remember, we can steal it back. But you can only, but so the way to get it today is that if you're in Portland, you're nuts if you don't support your weapon of mass destruction. Understand how difficult it is to keep your community station alive in the middle of the virus, because it's so difficult to do things like fulfill orders, et cetera, for premium. This is a very special thing, in fact, that we're doing right now, because it's so difficult to get you your premium. But we're going to make an exception. The station's made an exception for this book. This is Greg Palast saying, come on now. This is the moment. Many of you have supported me. In fact, last night, I was with Amy Goodman and Noam Chomsky. You just heard Amy on Democracy Now! And they were at the official virtual launch of my book yesterday. And Noam says the book is scary, but I think it's not so scary. I get a lot of laughs out of it. It's not scary because it shows you the way out. It has a happy ending. How Trump Stole 2020, at the back of it, Paul, has a something that we call the Greg and Ted. Ted Rall is my cartoonist. Greg and Ted's new improved ballot condom for safe voting. And so when you get the book, you can take this ballot condom. No, you don't wrap it around your ballot. It tells you seven ways to make sure that your ballot gets counted. Very important around the rest of the country. Oregon's pretty good. There's no question in terms of mail-in voting, but Oregon is, I hate to tell you, is not America. So you got to get this book to help warn people throughout the rest of America.
So Greg, I know I learned, like a lot of people, I learned a lot about the various ways that Kobach from Kansas and Kemp from Georgia and many others have been so underhanded Well, actually, quite overt in a lot of ways, surprisingly, in just removing people from the voter rolls, just all sorts of manipulations. And we really appreciate that. You've done some amazing work. And we have a whole hour to get into that. I wanted to kind of start out, well, your quote is, we're heading into a disaster, very well designed and intentional one. The GOP thought it all through and tested it in Georgia, Wisconsin, and elsewhere in November when Trump is up for reelection. This chaos will be everywhere. And so that's the first layer, which is all the worst devices that have been developed to suppress and manipulate elections are probably, almost certainly, I think you would say, in full play. But there's an even more dark scenario, which you laid out in an interview recently on the Salon Online magazine, where you warned that Trump could use this 12th Amendment to basically call the election a fraud. And anyway, I was hoping we could just kind of start out and just lay out, and then the rest of the hour we can talk about all the rest of the contents of your book. Lay out your what you say regarding the, first of all, what is the 12th Amendment?
Okay, the 12th Amendment tells us how to pick a president, including, you know, we have this goofy electoral college system. It's goofy. It's racist, violent electoral college system, which is basically says, which is a basically anti-democratic procedure. But what's worse, there's only one thing worse than the electoral college, and that's when the electoral college fails to get 270 electors. That is, if no one gets a majority, there's only one vote, there's not several rounds, there's one vote for president. If one candidate doesn't get that 51%, the 70 electoral votes, it goes to the House of Representatives. And you say, well, okay, well, there's mostly, that's the Democratic-controlled House. No, not so, KBOO fans. It's one vote per state. One vote per state. And while most Americans and most states are Democratic, and most Congress people are Democratic, if you go just by states, that means that Wyoming and New York get the same vote, and Trump will be reelected constitutionally under the 12th Amendment. Now, how does he do that? How do you not get the 270 votes? Here's how. In the book, How Trump Stole 2020, I lay out like the 12 ways that they can scam you out of your vote, and in particular, mail-in voting. Mail-in voting in America is not mail-in voting in Portland and Oregon. I told you, Portland is not America. And there is going to be an implosion of mail-in voting in the mail-in, in the post office, in the counting of these ballots. Millions of ballots are going to be stuck. And what they're going to do is, instead of saying, let's figure out a way to get all these millions of mail-in ballots counted, they're going to say, oh, we can't count the ballots, and there's too much fraud. Oh, my God, there's thousands of ballots from Bolivia, which is BS, but that's what they're going to claim. Oh, it's fraudulent voters. It's the ballots are unreadable. The post office mangled 200,000 ballots, blah, blah. And so some states, are you ready for this? You're going to have Republican legislatures in states like, for example, Florida, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio. These are states that at the moment Biden looks like he's going to win. These are swing states, but these are also swing states with Republican legislatures, and the legislatures, Paul, can say, oh, the vote's fraudulent, it's unreadable, there's too many crazy ballots we can't find, ballots have been lost. We can't certify the vote here in Florida. We can't certify the vote in Michigan. Remember, Trump supposedly won Michigan by just 10,000 votes out of 5 million, you know, like a fraction of 1%. So they'll say, oh, it's just too close to call, we can't certify the results. Now Biden is cheated out of those states. They literally do not send electors to Washington, to the Electoral College. And you don't have, so Biden, no one gets 270 votes. It goes to the House. Each state gets one vote. Agent Orange is reelected in a, quote, landslide. So if we want to prevent, by the way, I'm not trying to prevent Trump from being reelected. If the people want to actually choose this guy, hey, okay, that's democracy. I can live with that. But Trump was not selected by the voters in 16, and I'm not talking about the popular vote. If you include all the voters' blocks, if you include all the votes that were disqualified, it wasn't close. Hillary Clinton, whatever you think of her, did win. I would like the public to choose the president this time instead of trickery, which ends up in the House of Representatives.
Huh. Yeah, there's Tim Wirth, a former senator, also laid out a similar scenario.
Yeah.
He says that Trump will declare the election rigged. He'll blame mail-in ballots and Chinese election interference and invoke emergency powers to launch a Justice Department investigation into alleged election hacking in swing states. He'll stall until December 14 when the states must appoint Electoral College electors, et cetera, et cetera. Very elaborate scenario, which dovetails with your own. Do you see that as a possible scenario?
Yeah. I mean, it's a possible scenario, and that's why we have to. It's a very dangerous scenario. Okay, don't discount it. But I'm very concerned about the procedure involving the 12th Amendment, because even under Wirth's statement, if there are no electors certified by December 15th, or some states don't certify, then it goes to the House. So while he can use emergency powers, et cetera, once the election goes to the House of Representatives, he will be legally reelected by the House, not by the voters, but by the one vote per state rule under the 12th Amendment. So the important thing is to understand how the thievery happens, how the burglary happens. So that's why today we need everyone to get How Trump Stole 2020. So I'm going to make it sweeter for you. First of all, when Amy Goodman was pushing the book, you had to donate $120. But Amy did that last night. So for KBOO listeners, the minimum donation, tax deductible, by the way, better for KBOO than for for Agent Orange's helicopter. So tax deductible, but I'll throw in a sweetener. If anyone today donates to KBOO, you will also get gratis the audio book. They'll send me your email, you send me your email. If you've donated to KBOO, I will send you free the audio book of How Trump Stole 2020. And by the way, this is Greg Palast that you're listening to. Greg Palast and my new book just out yesterday is How Trump Stole 2020. So please go to kboo.fm/give, kboo.fm/give, $60 minimum donation, and you get How Trump Stole 2020. And, I mean, first of all, the book is, like 15 bucks retail, whatever it is, and the ebook is $20 retail. So you're getting a $45 value for 60 bucks. I mean, that's because it's so important right now to support your weapon of mass destruction, Portland. So please go to kboo.fm/give, and I'll throw in again the audiobook. Now, it's true, if you go on my site, you'll see that if you buy retail, you get the audiobook. You have to send me the receipt. But the important thing is, when you get something special when you get it through KBOO. When you get it through KBOO, by the way, if you get it through KBOO, I'm going to sign the book too. Okay, so you get a signed book. You get, which you can't get from the usual suspects this week, and you'll get the audio book. So please go to kboo.fm/give. This is Greg Palast saying, I'm doing this because it really is one of my favorite stations, community stations in all of America. KBOO is amazing, and I'm really always thrilled to help out on the fundraiser. Right now, I can't tell you, if you're listening, it's so important this moment, kboo.fm/give. Do it now.
I know that you're so used to coming on during the membership drives, and it's always so wonderful. You're really one of our greatest supporters, and you really do help us out a lot, which we have appreciated over the years. So it's kind of nice to have you still in that mode with this sort of mini membership drive, as it were. And this is and with your book just out yesterday, what an opportunity. How often does that happen? I wanted, before we get back into the subject of your book, talk a little bit about some of the difficulties you might have heard other radio stations have been having. I know some stations aren't even on the air.
Well, this is the problem. I could tell you, you know, you're a Pacifica affiliate, and some of the affiliates are doing okay. Some of the people have stepped up, but of course in wealthier areas like San Francisco and in Los Angeles but some of the community stations, because people can't come in. I know that people like to have a premium when you donate, which is why I'm helping the station here, KBOO, do some fulfillment, because some, if needed, because some stations, you have to understand, people can't go in, literally physically can't go into the stations because of the virus. So it's, you know, community radio is really, really on the ropes at this moment. This is the moment, if you're ever concerned. And it, was there ever a more important time to get this information? Paul, this is, you know, if you know the whole point of how Trump stole 2020, I wouldn't write the book if this were a prediction. If I had some type of crystal ball and I said, oh, well, Trump's won it. Well, if that were true, I would simply tell you to sneak out, hit a beach, go find shelter somewhere, and wait for 4 years till it blows over. But that's not what I'm saying in how Trump stole 2020. I'm saying he literally has already stolen the election. It's been stolen for 2 years. I can explain that. But we can steal it back, and that's the point of the book. It's a warning. It's like Paul Revere, you know, the orange stain is coming. The orange stain is coming. So how Trump stole it is also the formula of how you steal it back. So this is Greg Palast saying right now, 60 stinking bucks if you're a student, if you're unemployed, if you're a senior, if you are in economic trouble, it's not $60. Then it's $100 because you really need this station. So you should be paying extra because you really need this individual voice. Because what you're hearing, you're not going to hear on National Petroleum Radio, and you're not going to hear on from the Foxhole. You're only going to hear from KBOO how Trump stole 2020. You know, I'm doing a report now based on the book for Democracy Now. But get the book. Don't wait for the movie on Democracy Now. This will be, because you really want all the stories, including, I'm just looking here, great picture of Willie Nelson. At Willie Nelson, I've got Stacey Abrams, and more important, I've got the evidence on these guys from inside.
Yeah, so talk more. I know you've laid out this case. Again, I'm talking with Greg Palast, investigative reporter. I'm Paul Rowland, and this is KBOO Community Radio, Wednesday Talk Radio. Number to call in is 503-231-8187. This is a rare opportunity to interact with the great investigative reporter, Greg Palast. You know, you've done it a lot, and you keep doing it. You know, you're indefatigable. You're untiring. Your efforts are Herculean in calling this out. And unfortunately, not enough people listen. Unfortunately, you don't have enough of a resonance in the major mass media to really, you know, there's a lot of people who don't want this story told. But yeah, get back into some of the nitty gritty of some of the, you know, how did Trump steal 2016?
Well, yes, and by the way, one way that we get attention is if we get this book on the bestseller list. It looks like it's heading there. All my books have hit the New York Times bestseller list. This gives us reach into the mainstream media, which, by the way, they are finally calling. So this is the week to get the book, absolutely, but this is also the week to get the book from KBOO, KBOO.fm/give. And again, you get the audiobook with it. So how do you steal 16? You asked a very good question, because it's not just how he stole 20, because he did it in 16. So let's go through. No, he doesn't steal it in Oregon. You're not America. Let me take you through a tour of America. Let's go to Michigan. supposedly Donald Trump won the state of Michigan. And by the way, this is from the chapter Michigan, Michigas, in How Trump Stole 2020. Trump won Michigan by 10,000 votes, 10,700 votes. Now, okay, everyone was shocked. I wasn't, because he didn't win. I went for Democracy Now! To investigate in Detroit. And what I found was that 87 vote counting machines were busted. That is scanners. In Oregon, you vote on paper, and they stick it in a scanning machine. But Detroit, the city of Detroit, the city clerk, an African-American woman, a city clerk, had begged the state for money to replace broken and sketchy vote scanners, ballot scanners. The state refused. Now, why did she have to ask the state? Because Detroit and Flint at the time were occupied territories. They were bankrupt, and they were under management occupation by the Republican state leadership. And so they couldn't spend a dime, even on voting machines, without state approval. And believe it or not, the Republicans said, oh, you've got broken vote counting machines, scanners? What a shame. So they wouldn't give them the money. The result was that literally they still used machines that they knew were going to break down. They did. And in exactly 75,355 ballots were never counted, mainly in Detroit and Flint. 75,000 ballots, seven times Trump's supposed victory margin. Now, it's Detroit. Whose votes were they, right? I was there. I actually talked to a voter who lost his vote, a young man named Jose Garcia, who in Detroit, and he said for 2 hours in the morning, during the morning rush, the machine was broken. They simply took the ballots you filled out and stuck them in the back of the machine as if they had been counted. That's Michigan. That's Michigan. Then we moved to, so Trump won by 10,000 votes in Michigan. And
that was just one example. I'm sure there's many other examples of other.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, so I was there. This is, and by the way, I actually then slogged through the snow to Lansing, Michigan, to the Capitol, and to ask the Secretary of State about this stuff, including his purges, removal of voters. I had the names of voters he had removed, including a whole bunch of people named Michael Brown, who he said voted in other states. I said, do you think Michael Brown is a common name? And by the way, isn't it a common name for what color voters? These are, you know, and by the way, just so you know, according to the Census Bureau, you're about six times more likely to be named Brown if you're African American. They're not guessing on these. They know who they're removing, okay? And so that's just part of the wipe. That's just Michigan. But then also in How Trump Stole 2020, I have a couple chapters on Wisconsin, how they're stealing the theft of Wisconsin 2020. But I also have a chapter called Wisconsin Eats Its Young, which explains how Trump won in 16 in Wisconsin. Remember, everyone criticized Hillary for not campaigning in Wisconsin. Well, the polls show she was a walkaway, and the exit polls showed that she had won Wisconsin, not by a small margin either. So what happened? Here's what happened. 2 weeks before the election in 16, the Republican state legislature had passed a law signed by the Coke toy boy, Republican Governor Scott Walker, which required photo ID to vote. This went into effect 2 weeks before the election. 2 weeks. And a state active photo ID to vote. Say, okay, well, you could use your driver's license, but guess what, Paul? You can't use your driver's license if you don't have a driver, if you don't have a car and you don't bother, so you don't have a driver's license. So who doesn't have a driver's license? People without cars, urban people, people who use buses, low-income people who can't afford cars. In other words, voters of color, and the color is blue. So according to the University of Wisconsin, 50,000 African-Americans lost their vote because they didn't have the right ID. Low-income people in Milwaukee. That's twice Trump's margin. That's nothing compared to what happened to the students. Okay, So every University of Wisconsin student, there are 182,000 of them, they have state photo IDs, but guess what? They weren't allowed to use the student IDs. Your concealed carry weapon ID, your hunting license, yes. Your student ID from the University of Wisconsin, no. You had to get a special, and even today you have to get a special student ID that allows you to vote, which, Paul, you have to get from the Dean of Students' office, which is, it's closed because of the virus. You can't even get the right ID to vote if you're a student. But don't worry, you can use your old student ID. Are you ready for this? If you're going to mail in your ballot, you have to mail in a photocopy of your ID. And if you're a student, if you use a student ID, you have to mail in some type of record that you are currently enrolled. You're currently enrolled and in good standing. Now, I'm sorry. If you flunk an algebra test, why should you lose your vote for president? And get ready for this. Remember, I told you have to photocopy these things and stick them in your mail-in ballot. Right? You got to stick it in your mail-in ballot. So how many people know that? How many people can do that? How many people can get their proof of active enrollment? This is 182,000 University of Wisconsin students. And by the way, if you put those three pieces of paper in your mail-in ballot, which is required by law in Wisconsin now, you've now added a half an ounce. And guess what? You better add a second stamp to your envelope or you've lost your vote for postage due.
Oh, no. So,
okay.
Greg.
Now, remember, in Oregon, they prepay your ballot is prepaid, right? So
yeah, just
Oregon,
for this past election, I think. It's already worked well, and now it's working even better. And,
right.
The thing about the mail-in ballots is that there's all this controversy about, some of it, you can kind of understand that kind of at the last minute, trying to do a good, efficient, well-functioning, equitable mail-in ballot system does present challenges. That's why these things need to be done well in advance and need to be up and running, and we need to think ahead. But I just want to ask you, Greg, I want to ask you a question that I want you to answer after I check in with Sonia to see if we have any callers, since I did already open up the phone lines at 503-231-8187. But the question I want to ask you after that is, despite your best efforts, despite your having warned us all repeatedly, endlessly, despite your having put the information out there, things just don't seem to have been corrected. But we can lay that off. Sonia, do we have anybody waiting to call in?
I believe Barry is on the line. Barry, are you still with us?
Yes, I sure am.
Go ahead, you're live.
Hey, Barry.
Okay.
Greg Pal-
Hi.
Barry, this is
good,
Greg
good morning,
Pallas,
Paul.
And I'm glad
morning,
to speak
Mr.
with
Pallas.
You.
Mm-hmm. I remember you from when you were in Portland. It's wonderful work. Yeah, it's wonderful work that you're doing. I appreciate that very much.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
But the candidate that's given to us to vote for, this guy is wrong. He's bad. And I don't see how it wouldn't be possible to draft Senator Sanders in, write his name in, even though it's been taken off the ballot.
Okay, thanks, Barry. Let's see what Greg has to say about that. Go ahead.
The truth is, even though the book is called How Trump Stole 2020, I'm not partisan. I'm just busting the thievery. Vote for whom you want. You can write in Joanne Hardesty. That'd be very tempting. But,
except she's already gotten elected office. I think that would be confusing.
Yeah. But President Joanne, you can't complain. Come on. But yeah, so vote for. I'm not. Greg Pallas ain't going to tell you who to vote for. Whether Joe Biden's your cup of tea or your cup of Joe, or Agent Orange is your man, or anyone else. What I think is important is that you make sure that you protect your vote. And I'm not really talking to people in Oregon, because Oregon has had a mail-in system. Most of America is going to be voting by mail. And, I have to tell you, your Secretary of State, last Secretary of State, told me, I just pray that no one else adopts Oregon's system. And why is that? Why not adopt Oregon's mail system? Because she said that that it was you couldn't get people to honestly, other states will not honestly handle the system. In Oregon, they actually try to help you vote. For example, if you leave off your signature, there's a question about your signature, you have the opportunity in Oregon to fix your ballot. So if there's a problem with your ballot, it's not thrown away. Now, are you ready for this, Paul?
And Barry? I hope so.
In America, and again, that excludes Portland, in America, 22% of all mail-in ballots never get counted. That's according to MIT. That's 1 in 5. And as the professors who did the study from MIT and Caltech said, if you had 22%, if 1 in 5 precinct votes were thrown away, people be rioting in the streets. But we tend to not even think about mail-in voting because it's always been so minor. It's always been in Oregon, it's a minor issue. Now it is life and death. It's the election. It's the White House, how we handle mail-in votes. We lose 1 in 5, not in Oregon, but in other states. I just told you about Wisconsin, where if you're a student, you have to not only mail in your ID or a photo of your ID, you have to mail in proof that you're in good standing, enrolled in your school. I don't even know how to do that. In Alabama, I was just on with Santita Jackson. That's Jesse Jackson's daughter. I'm working with the Reverend Jackson. In Alabama, where Senator Doug Jones is the Democratic senator is fighting for his life, you have to notarize your ballot. Are you like that? You have to notarize your ballot. And by the way, they have a rule against one notary notarizing more than 20 ballots. Now, if you have a million voters vote by mail in Alabama,
probably not enough notaries in the whole state.
You would need 20,000 notaries. You would need 20,000 notaries, and so with the 20,000 notaries. But here's the other problem: where do you find the notary during a lockdown? And third, why are you going to a notary during a lockdown? Oh, but don't worry. If you don't get the notary, and this is in the book, How Trump Stole 2020. If you don't have the notary, don't worry, Paul, if you're in Alabama. You can get two witnesses, and you better make sure that they're voters in good standing to witness your ballot, too. So now you've got all these people messing with your ballot. So a judge 2 weeks ago said, this is ridiculous. People are going to die doing this. The whole point of mail-in ballots is to stop people from getting a virus. And so making them go to a notary or getting two witnesses is insane. First of all, it's ridiculous hoops to jump through. So a federal judge threw it out. And then the U.S. Supreme Court, we got to come up with another name for them. I hate to even call them supreme. The five justices who with the black robes and the white hoods said no, Alabama could impose these restrictions, despite the fact that, by the way, the cost of doing that is not small, and that's a poll tax. That's a poll tax, which is by itself a violation of the Constitution. But hey, I don't know if the Kavanaugh Five are familiar with the U.S. Constitution. And so that's Alabama. So you have to understand, mail-in voting in the rest of America is deeply hostile, especially to black voters. Now, why to black voters? The answer is because your mail-in ballot is not secret. And so you have, not in Oregon, but in other states, people who spend all their time doing nothing but going through every mail-in vote and challenging it, and they're known as Republicans. Now, I'm not partisan on this. Just like I told when your caller came in, I'm not even for or against Trump. That's your choice. Let the voters choose. But you have people who spend their time challenging ballots. And I have the story, in fact, in Los Angeles. You know, and people's ballots are thrown out for the most cockamamie reasons. You checked a box. This was also happening, for example, in when I'd look at the count in Michigan. You check a box instead of fill in the bubble. You use a red pen instead of a blue pen. You signed your name without your middle initial, and you registered with your middle initial. All these things are disqualifying you. In San Diego, And it doesn't mean that you're a moron who doesn't know how to vote, and so too bad. My sister, who's a lawyer, my mother, who's was a head of the union school teacher, they lost their votes in California. California tells you, by the way, if your vote was disqualified, you can look it up. Their votes are disqualified because they didn't properly fill in a bubble in a San Diego race for mayor. The Republicans, the Democrat had won in San Diego. The Republicans went through all the mail-in ballots and disqualified 5,000 of them, all on minor technical grounds. You know, it was folded wrong. There's an extra mark. It was a check mark instead of a bubble fill-in. People wrote in a candidate's name but also shouldn't, you know, little tiny things, misspelled the candidate's name slightly. All these things resulted in them challenging 5,000 votes, and the Republican was named mayor. But that's nothing. I'm telling you, 3 million mail-in ballots in 16 were disqualified or not counted. About a million disqualified, 2 million not counted because you can't mail in your ballot if it hasn't been mailed out to you. Now, in Oregon, everyone gets a ballot. You think everyone gets a ballot in Alabama, Wisconsin, Georgia?
Heck no. Listen, though, so. Greg, we got to take that up again, but we got to check in and see if anybody else called in. It's 20 minutes till 9 o'clock, and this is KBOO Community Radio. I have Greg Palast on the line. I am on the line. We're both on the phone. As Greg was saying, a lot of people can't go into their community stations around the country. Volunteers, not too many staff are going in. Only the bare minimum goes into KBOO. We weren't able to have our spring fund membership drive.
We're having this right now.
So we're having anyone instant. Right now. And I want to tell people how to do that, but I also want to check in with Sonia to see if we have anybody who's called in to our studio line, 503-231-8187. Do we have anybody waiting, Sonia?
Yes, I believe we have Robbie on the line.
Robbie?
Do you want to go right to Robbie, or did you want to give more information on how people can get that book?
Yeah, let me give you – this is Greg Palast. Here's how you get my new book, which came out yesterday. All right, it's out there, you know, in the usual suspects, but here's a deal that you can't pass by. Go to kboo.fm/give, kboo.fm/give, and for a stinking measly tax-deductible donation of $60, you get the brand-new book, How Trump Stole 2020, by me, Greg Palast, and I am donating to the station the audiobook for anyone who buys or donates for the book. You donate for the book, I will also throw in from me, from a special gift from Greg Palast, I will throw in the audiobook of How Trump Stole 2020. So this is because together it's almost close to the $60 retail value. But I really want to keep my weapon of mass destruction alive in Portland. I hope you do, too. So to get How Trump Stole 2020 by Greg Palast and the audiobook, you're going to go to kboo.fm/give. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't get paid to do this. I don't make any money from this. I don't even make money from the book. The book is, by the way, all proceeds go to the Palast Investigative Fund, a not-for-profit, nonpartisan foundation. You better believe it, but this moment I'm giving to KBOO, and so should you. kboo.fm/give, and say, I want, and you can pick up there the book. I don't think it shows that you get the audiobook on your online at the moment. That's the gift I'm telling you everyone will get who donates for the book from KBOO.
Thank you so much, Greg. And it's also just go to kbo.fm and click on donate. Might even be an easier way. Or if you don't have a computer, go to call up our regular line, 503-231-8032, extension 207. Let's go to Robbie.
Robbie, go ahead. You're live, buddy.
Yeah, good morning, Paul. Love the show. Greg, I love your work. I'm a huge fan. I've known about you probably since the Al Gore Bush, I believe, is when you started doing a lot of that. And actually, if I get the book tomorrow, can I still get the offer with that?
Absolutely. If you go to kboo.fm/give or donate and get the – anyone who donates the $60 for the book this week – this week,
okay,
you will get the audiobook gratis.
Great. I'm getting my paycheck. It's coming in tonight, so I'll make sure to do that tomorrow. Anyway, I love the work.
Fantastic.
I just wanted to say, though, I believe you said 3 million votes in California. I believe that was also a part of the primary in California, where they threw out a lot of the ballots. They didn't even bother counting them in the Democratic primary, which is what I was calling to bring up, which is we're all, you know, stuck up about Donald Trump, but the Democratic National Party also rigged an election. There was 44 gigabytes.
Oh, indeed. 44. Okay, so, yeah, I know. It sounds like I'm letting the Democrats off the... No, I do not. There is a chapter in the book. In fact, Noam Chomsky last night, I was speaking with Noam Chomsky last night. He's a big fan. He read the book cover to cover already. And his favorite chapter was California Reman, which is about how the Democratic Party just ripped off Bernie Sanders. And by the way, while I mentioned the 2016 election, to know how fresh how Trump stole 2020 is, there's the whole chapter is about the March 2020 primary. That's how, you know, most books are written about a year in advance of publication. This was written, I finished writing this 3 weeks ago. So that's how fresh it is. So there's a chapter, California Reman, Noam Chomsky's favorite chapter. Amy wouldn't tell me what her favorite chapter. Actually, I know her favorite chapter was the opening in Atlanta, Amy Goodman. But it is about how are you ready for this? It's so big, I can't even. It's hard to even say it. I calculated. I'm a former professor of statistics. So with the top statistician in California, top statistician on voting, sat down and calculated how many votes Bernie Sanders was shafted out of. 553,000, over 500,000 Bernie Sanders voters were denied their ballots or denied the right to vote. Most of them never got their ballot. This is the problem with mail-in voting. In Oregon, everyone gets a ballot, but in most states, you have to ask the ballot. And in California, you have this crazy system that if you are an independent voter, 4.2 million independent voters, 3.7 million of those independent voters have the right and wanted to vote in the Democratic primary. But Alex Padilla, the Democratic Secretary of State, it was the most brilliant maneuver I've seen in elections and the most vicious. He literally mailed out 3.7 million ballots without the presidential candidates on them. I kid you not. This past March, 3.7 million ballots. Because he said if you didn't specifically request a Democratic Party, quote, crossover ballot, well, you don't get to vote in the presidential primary. Too bad. You get a ballot, but there's no president on it. And people didn't know what to do. I mean, there's a whole process for changing that ballot. But it was brilliant because – and why is this brilliant? Because Alex Padilla, the Democratic Secretary of State, the Catherine Harris and Brian Kemp of California knew that independent voters supported Bernie Sanders 2-1 over other candidates. And that was true in 2016 when they took away his voters. So Sanders won in 16. This time they took away 500,000 votes from him. So, look, I would love to say that it's one evil party, but it ain't. It's really – and but that's why you want to read – yeah.
Let's let Robbie have another word. Go ahead, Robbie.
Yeah, and I'm really great that you bring that up because it does kind of frame it as though it's only Republicans doing it. But in the state of Texas, actually, there was 45 thumb drives that weren't counted. It's a whole 10% of the vote this primary. Are you familiar with TDM Research?
No, I'm not.
They're the only ones that seem to do any of the monitoring of the election fraud that the Democrats did in the primary. But TDM Research found that the Massachusetts exit polls were off. They found that South Carolina, they adjust their exit polls. Are you aware? Do you have any information on that, about what that is?
In fact, I have a chapter on that called The Redshift is Coming. The Redshift is Coming on exit polling. And by the way, when you get How Trump Stole 2020, again, kbo.fm/give, or KBOO.FM and hit that donate button. You're going to get the audio book at the same time, but you'll get something else too. Inside How Trump Stole 2020 is the comic book by Ted Rall of How to Steal an Election. So you have a 48-page comic book by Ted Rall, but he is really very good at going after exposing Dems. So we have a whole section indeed on exit, on the games with exit polls. So that's
okay,
in there
you.
Too. And we even go internationally and talk about the vote thieving goes Jim Crow International. So we have a lot of we cover a lot of ground.
Okay, well, thanks for calling, Robbie. I just want to give anybody else who might want to call in a chance, 503-231-8187. We only have 10 minutes left, and we have Greg Palast on the line with this mini membership drive special here on Wednesday Talk Radio. It's so great to have you. And your book just out yesterday on Bastille Day, just amazing timing. I'm so glad we were able to get you, to squeeze you in even before Amy Goodman, we scooped her anyway. So go to kboo.fm, click on that donate button, or kboo.fm/give, or call up our regular line, 503-231-8032, extension 207, and request this special offer of this brand new book, How Trump Stole 2020, for a minimum, I stress minimum, if you are able. I know everybody's stressed out in so many ways, including economically, so we do appreciate people's continued support in this time of a crisis, this crazy time that we're in. But if you do have it within your means, take this opportunity and help us out and help yourself out and spread the word. How Trump Stole 2020. Yeah, we only have about 10 minutes left. We got any other callers, Sonia?
I believe Katie is with us.
Katie?
Hello?
Go ahead.
Katie? Hi, this is Greg Palast. You're on with Greg Palast and Paul Rowland.
All right. Well, thank you for taking my call, Greg. I feel so privileged that you're here in Portland, or at least speaking with us here.
Virtually.
And I follow your work, and I think you're really great. But I also, like, it's just so maddening to me finding out all this information, and I feel like, what are we supposed to do about it? How do they keep getting away with, basically, I feel like they're taking people's voting rights away. What do we
do? Yes. Katie, thank you for asking. Okay, at the back, people aren't aware, and we are in denial. That is, the mainstream media ain't telling you nothing. Oh, and,
yeah.
And before I forget, by the way, about when you... That's one of the big problems. And if, by the way, you want to hear Amy Goodman and Noam Chomsky, the launch event, we are going to be Facebook Live on, again, KBO, you're right, has scooped Amy Goodman. Amy Goodman and Noam Chomsky will be with me Thursday evening live, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Just go to gregpalast.com for the information. Facebook Live, Greg Palast Investigates, 4 p.m. tomorrow with Amy and Noam. But right now, you've got a deal of the century for a $60 minimum donation, How Trump Stole 2020. You get the audiobook for free at kboo.fm. Hit the donate button. I'm sorry to put in that commercial, but I want to keep this station alive. And you were, and at the back, you said, what do we do? Okay, again, at the back of How Trump Stole 2020 is the new improved ballot condom, which tells you how to protect your vote. And literally, no, you don't rip it out and stick it around your ballot. What you do is you read the seven suggestions for how to save your own ballot. And it's much more important in other states than Oregon, where other states where they are hostile to your vote. The other thing, policy-wise, and it's very important, you know, I hope that people, when you get the book, really will copy that little pamphlet at the end of the book, or the little chart, because and send it around to everyone you know in other states. I'm not worried about Oregon. I am very worried about Michigan and Wisconsin and North Carolina and Ohio and Missouri. And we have to fight to make mail-in voting easy. What Trump is saying, he's not saying don't mail in votes. He's saying don't make it easy. And he is, by the way, even a narcissistic psychopath like our commander in chief knows, and he is correct when he says if you let everyone vote, if you make voting easy, Republicans will never win, at least not now, because there ain't enough white guys to reelect Trump. This is just a demographic fact. So they have to get rid of the non-white guys. And that's how the game is played, and they're going to use mail-in balloting, not the way you do it in Oregon, but the way they did. Mail-in Carolina style is a real frightening business. That's all I can tell you. So we have to take action. Send out at the back of How Trump Stole 2020, send it to everyone you know in other states.
So if Katie's still there, let's give her another chance. But I just want to read off a few of the things that are in that last chapter. End the purges, affidavit, not provisional ballots, no more push and pray machines, no registration or second best, make same day registration universal, no ID requirement, all sorts of a whole bunch of excellent recommendations, which can only be enacted if people rise up around this issue like they're doing so righteously and so powerfully and so effectively around police shootings of African Americans and wider issues that are people need to rise up around this. Yes. They need to make this a major focus, don't you think?
Oh my
yes,
God.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Please.
Thanks.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Katie.
I just don't understand, why people, when they find out stuff like this, why they're not just in the streets and yelling and angry and calling their senators and their legislators like this is. I mean,
well, two things.
All right,
we're not, because Americans are kept in the dark about their election system. This, if you know me, Greg Pallas, when I was doing the investigation of the theft of the vote in Florida, I was living in London. I was working for the Guardian newspapers and BBC television. So, in the rest of the world, my stories are running on the Canadian broadcast system and in South America and in Australia. So my stuff was front page. Everyone in the world knew about America's racist Jim Crow, jammed up, fiddled with, diddled with election system. But Americans didn't. So we're kept in the dark. That's why I have to write these books, because they can keep me off of the TV, but they can't, not until Patriot Act 3, they can't stop us from getting a book. So, it's been, and also one of the reasons why, let's face it, and you brought up police brutality and police killings. This is a racial issue. The vote theft is racial. They're going after African-American, Hispanics, and I even have a chapter called The Rise of Kim Crow. They're going after Asian American voters big time. And I tell you how they do it in a chapter called Voting Gangnam Style. And, the issue of race, we don't touch that in the American media unless there's riots in the streets and demonstrations. Finally, they act like George Floyd was the first African American ever killed by the cops. No, it's the first African-American killed by the cops where the media actually paid attention and got the word out, and people were upset. If they said the same thing, if we had real attention to our voting, I think people would be upset and in the streets too.
Okay, we've got a minute left. Yeah. A minute left, Greg. Your summation of your book or a final pitch, whichever you prefer.
Both. Okay, How Trump Stole 2020 with a comic book inside it, 48-page comic book by Ted Rall. It's heading to the New York Times bestseller list. Let's get it on the bestseller list. But most important, let's support your station by going to KBOO.fm, hitting the donate button, getting How Trump Stole 2020, and it'll include the comic book, and I'm donating to KBOO donors I'm donating to you the audiobook free of charge. Please do it now. It must be this week. If you want that free audiobook, get the book, How Trump Stole 2020, this week. And go to gregpalace.com. Join me on with Noam Chomsky and Amy Goodman, Facebook Live, 4 p.m. tomorrow, Thursday. Go to gregpalace.com for more info. Please support Your Weapon of Mass Instruction in Oregon, KBOO.FM. Hit that donate button, $60 minimum donation. Please keep this wonderful thing alive. Don't take it for granted. They are suffering. They had to skip the spring drive. Do you understand that, my listeners, friends? If you love this station, as I do, you're going to go to KBOO.FM, donate for How Trump Stole 2020. This is Greg Palast.
Thank you so much, Greg. Once again, just wonderful talking to you. We really, really, really appreciate your support. We appreciate all the hard work you've done, and we especially appreciate this incredibly timely book just out yesterday, How Trump Stole 2020. Thank you so much. This is Paul Rowland with Wednesday Talk Radio.
Bye.
Bye. But I know we won't belong now. I know we won't belong.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Alien Boy, The Life and Death of James Chassie, is a documentary film about one man's struggle with schizophrenia and his brutal killing by Portland police. I'm Karen James. We'll remember James Chassie as we listen to his parents, friends, and eyewitnesses.